Learning Lab at WEAA 88.9 FM on the campus of Morgan State University, the School of Global Journalism and Communication presents the Morgan News Hour. Welcome to the Morgan News Hour here on WEAA 88.9 FM. I'm Randy Reed, News Director.
I'm Demi Goff, co-host of the Morgan News Hour. Thanks for joining us.
Anne Arundel County Police are searching for the suspect who shot at a police cruiser earlier today, not too far away from a school. What we know about the incident.
A new poll was released after President Joe Biden announced the vaccine mandate for private businesses. The percentage of poll voters who agree with the president.
Mayor Brandon Scott announced a new rent relief program for families facing eviction in the city.
Anne Arundel County Police responded to the area of Hilltop Road and Blue Ridge Drive for an armed suspect in the area. When officers arrived, one of their windows was shot out of their police cruiser. No injuries were reported. Police believe they may know the suspect.
We are asking people in the area to just use caution because there is going to be a heavy police presence in the area. We do not believe that there is a threat to the public at large right now, the public as a whole. Detectives are working a very strong lead as far as who the child was with the handgun in the woods this morning. And detectives are still actively trying to determine if that police vehicle was shot out or if it was some type of ridiculous coincidence and a mechanical malfunction with that vehicle.
The Maryland Department of Health updated its COVID numbers from this morning. 1,103 new cases have been reported in the past 24 hours. 7 patients have left the hospital and no new admittance. 13 people have died due to COVID-19, and the state's positivity rate is down to 4.75%.
Nearly 3 in 5 Americans agree with the federal coronavirus vaccine mandate. A recent Morning Consult political poll shows 58% support the new vaccine mandate for private businesses. Last week, President Biden announced companies with over 100 employees would be required to be vaccinated or tested weekly. The poll also found 56% agreed federal workers and contractors should be vaccinated without being offered a testing option. Meantime, 62% support mandatory vaccinations for teachers and other school staff, while 60% think the same should be required for federal healthcare workers. You have any thoughts on the poll?
So I've been reading where, employees are like searching out employment attorneys to get their opinion on it because of the mandate. But people are forgetting that a lot of the vaccinations that we have to get through, even for to get kids into school, are mandated.
I think that's what some people are forgetting, that when your child does go to school, that they are supposed to be vaccinated. So when it does come to this poll and what the president then had to set in place, it's almost like having to discipline your child who's
right.
not listening
That's
to
true.
You. So just for a safer country or for people to be able to get back to work, I think it is a good idea for this mandate to be set in place. And then also to make areas or surrounding places a little safer. Yes, you can still get COVID with the vaccine, but your symptoms won't be as severe.
Right. And there's a was it a nurse a hospital in upstate New York?
Yeah. Okay.
Where a lot of nurses are protesting and left.
Yes, I was going to bring that up. I didn't know if you had put it in, but yes. A hospital in upstate New York, mostly on the maternity ward, they left because they do not want to get the vaccine. So the hospital will not be delivering babies. I think they said they'll stop delivering babies this month because those persons who work on a maternity ward don't want to get vaccinated. So they're resigning. And I think it's a little interesting. I have a friend who's a mom who had just given birth, And her nurses had advised her that she should get vaccinated so that when she breastfeeds her baby can get the antibodies and, you know, build up that immunity. And, you know, you have a medical professional or personnel telling you that you should get vaccinated so that you can give the antibodies to your child, yet they want to deliver your babies without being vaccinated themselves.
Right. And the whole thing with even with the nurses, and I could be wrong, but I thought they take a pledge, you know, like the doctors take this Hippocratic Oath, I believe. I believe nurses also do the same thing. I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah, that's very interesting. If they do take a pledge, the HIPAA pledge to say that they are also getting the vaccinations that you are getting as well. So I do think that's very interesting.
Families facing eviction in Baltimore City may see some relief. Mayor Brandon Scott announced that the Baltimore City Pandemic Rent Court Program, it will allow litigants to apply for back rent assistance on site at rent court through Baltimore's Eviction Prevention Program, which is administered by Baltimore City Community Action Partnership. This program is just one component of Scott's administration's eviction prevention strategy for vulnerable families. The Baltimore City Pandemic Rent Court Program staff will work with landlords and tenants before and during rent dockets to resolve issues and settle debts. Judges can refer litigants to apply for back rent assistance. Additionally, stipulated dismissals and stays can be used to allow time for eviction prevention program resolution to play out, helping to avoid trial, judgment, warrant, and evictions where litigants are eligible for back rent assistance.
Now let's take a look at the news happening around our region.
Maryland lawmakers are set to act on a state mask mandate this week. The Joint Committee on Administrative, Executive, and Legislative Review is scheduled to hold a virtual meeting on Tuesday on an emergency regulation requiring masks in all schools. The committee action comes after the Board of Education moved in favor of a statewide mask mandate for students, teachers, and staff at its meeting in August. Currently, 20 of Maryland's 24 jurisdictions have mask mandates in place for local school districts. And Baltimore is one of four cities to participate in a workforce development program. Goldman Sachs has elected Baltimore as one of its sites to launch its program to match college students with small businesses struggling to hire workers during the pandemic. The program expands the New York Investment Bank's existing small business training program, which was first announced in Baltimore in 2017 and has 460 participating businesses. The new program will offer paid semester-long internships for students at community colleges and historically black colleges and universities. Reporting for the Morgan News Hour, I'm Kara Williams.
Let's take a look around at your weather around the region.
Here's a look at your weather around the region. Tonight, a slight chance of showers after 2 a.m., partly cloudy with a low around 72. Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 90. Tuesday night, partly cloudy, a low around 72. Wednesday, a slight chance of showers after 2 p.m., mostly sunny with a high near 90. Wednesday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly between 8 p.m. and 2 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 70. Thursday, a chance of showers after 2 p.m., partly sunny with a high near 84.
A Morgan State University student participated in the White House briefing Friday with other HBCU students. The issues and concerns our student addressed during the briefing. You're listening to WEAA 88.9 FM, the number one streaming station in Baltimore. We'll be right back. Thank you. the Morgan News Hour on WEAA 88.9 FM. And thanks for joining us tonight. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken is defending the Biden administration's much criticized handling of the military withdrawal from Afghanistan before Congress. In a contentious hearing on Monday before the House Foreign Affairs Committee, Blinken faced complaints from angry lawmakers about the administration's response to the quick collapse of the Afghan government and, more specifically, the State Department's actions.
After 20 years, 2,641 American lives lost, 20,000 injuries, it was time to end America's longest war. Nothing I or anyone else saw indicated a collapse of this army and this government in 11 days. The evacuation itself was an extraordinary effort under the most difficult conditions imaginable by our diplomats, by our military, by our intelligence professionals.
California Governor Gavin Newsom is facing a recall election tomorrow. American Urban Radio Network's Ebony McMorris reports.
AURN News.
I'm Ebony McMorris. All eyes are on California, where voters must decide on the fate of Governor Gavin Newsom as he faces recall.
We will defeat this Republican-backed recall on Tuesday.
New polling shows 57% of Californians want to keep him, while 40% don't. Newsom has been heavily criticized for his handling of the COVID crisis. 1.5 million residents voted for the recall. Now, when they cast their ballot, they'll have to answer two questions. First, if they want him removed from office, and second, which of the recall candidates they would pick to replace him. Now, there are 46 candidates on the ballot, including talk show host Larry Elders and reality TV star and athlete Caitlyn Jenner. Now, this is the fourth recall election of a governor in U.S. history. If recalled, he would make the third. For AURN News, I'm Ebony McMorris.
On Friday, Morgan State University participated in a White House briefing with White House Principal Deputy Press Secretary Corinne Jean-Pierre. The White House hosted student journalists from historically black colleges and universities. Jordan Brown, the editor-in-chief for The Spokesman, which is Morgan State's on-campus newspaper, had a chance to ask Corinne Jean-Pierre a question.
We have Jordan Brown, Morgan State University. Jordan, you're up.
Hi, thank you so much. It's great to be here. My question for you is more so about the Biden administration, and with the recent reopening of schools and universities, many for the first time since the COVID-19 pandemic began, a lot of states across the country have different safety protocols against COVID, and with students in schools K through 8 haven't had the opportunity to get vaccinated yet. What procedures is the Biden administration taking to ensure everybody's safety at this time?
Jordan, thank you for that question, because this one is personal to me. As I mentioned, I have a 7-year-old and she is not able to get vaccinated. As you all know, 11 and under, the vaccination is not yet available to them. It has not been approved by FDA. And as you know, we follow science here and lead with science. And so that is something that many parents I know across the country, some parents that I know personally, even here at the White House, are really concerned about that, about their kids going to school, and the numbers that we're seeing with kids contacting or being infected with COVID. So we must do everything we can to protect kids. This is something that the president talked about yesterday when he laid out his next phase of combating COVID-19. We want to make sure that we get as many people vaccinated. We want to make sure that we keep people out of hospitals and make sure that we're protecting folks as much as possible, and make sure we keep those schools open and make sure we keep our economy open. And so this is critical. Like my daughter and so many other kids were, and probably some of you hadn't been in school in person for a year and a half. And it is so important to have these schools open for your mental health. We were just talking about mental health, for your social kind of just interaction, and to really get an education that you can have access to your teacher and access to the things that are incredibly important. So the vaccines, the vaccine requirements in the president's plan will affect about 100 million Americans, and two-thirds of those Americans are all workers. The president is requiring vaccination where he can. The Head Start programs, Department of Defense schools, Bureau of Indian Education, and the president called on governors to require vaccination for all teachers and staff. So we know that schools can be safe if they follow the public health guidelines around mitigation strategies, masking, ventilation, all those things the schools were given funding for through the American Rescue Plan, because the president wanted to make sure when we open schools that they were opened safely. So all of these things that I just mentioned, ventilation, mitigation, PPE, that has there's been funding awarded to states to make sure that can be done in a way that is safe. But I hear you all. It is incredibly important to keep our young people safe and to make sure that we do everything that we can, which is why the president spoke about this very forcefully yesterday about how to combat COVID-19 and his approach.
Student reporter Kendra Pugh speaks with the play-by-play announcer for Morgan State University's football team, and we get that interview up next. You're listening to WEAA 88.9 FM, the number one streaming station in Baltimore. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Morgan News Hour here on WEAA 88.9 FM. Now let's take a look at your weather.
Here's a look at your weather around the region. Tonight, a slight chance of showers after 2 a.m., partly cloudy with a low around 72. Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 90. Tuesday night, partly cloudy, a low around 72. Wednesday, a slight chance of showers after 2 p.m., mostly sunny with a high near 90. Wednesday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly between 8 p.m. and 2 a.m., mostly cloudy, with a low around 70. Thursday, a chance of showers after 2 p.m., partly sunny, with a high near 84.
We are now joined by Tariq Turner, who is a senior here in the School of Global Journalism and Communication. He is also the sports editor for Morgan State's on-campus newspaper, The Spokesman. Tariq, what's going on in sports today?
The Morgan Show, a new feature of Morgan State Athletics, is now online at weaa.org. Host Lamont Germany and student Kayla Sweezy are joined today by Director of Intercollegiate Athletics, Dr. Edward Scott, who discussed discipline, academic values, and the impact of COVID-19.
Welcome back to the Morgan Show. Lamont Germany along with Kayla Sweezy. And Kayla, we are keeping some good company right about now. We got the Vice President and Director of Athletics here at Morgan State University, Dr. Ed Scott, in year number 5, I think it is. Like, anniversary's coming up.
Yeah, Lamont, thanks for making me feel old. But yes, November will be 5 years. Very proud, 5 years.
Let's talk about those 5 years. Where we were when you set foot on campus back in 2016, the challenges and the successes that you've had here in 2021.
Well, I think the biggest thing is building the culture. I think you know that. You've been around for all 5 of the years, intimately involved in a lot of them. Most importantly, who we are today is not who we were 5 years ago. And what I mean by that is the way we operate as a department, right? Our values, the values of grit, academics, compliance, those kind of pieces are well entrenched now. Now for us, it's really putting the icing on the cake and making sure that we're getting the right student athletes to be able to compete for championships now, because we feel we have academics and compliance in the stronghold. And so we like where we're at, but we still got some work to do.
COVID, past year, a lot of challenges, a lot of stops and starts, a lot of indecision, a lot of not knowing. What were those challenges like, and what is it now, especially given the fact that COVID isn't completely behind us yet?
Well, we're still living with COVID, right? I think it's something, it's like an injury. After you're injured, you got to learn to live with it. It never goes back perfectly. And I think that's how I'm really looking at COVID in our department. I will tell you, it tested my why and my purpose. It would have been much easier to shut down the department last year and not participate in intercollegiate athletics. And that would have hurt our softball program had we done that. And so every day we had to get up, right? Our staff, particularly our infrastructure, and we don't talk enough about that. Our facilities folks, our equipment folks, and our sports medicine and strength and conditioning folks, some of them never left campus for an entire day through the entire pandemic. And so I don't think we give them enough credit, because without them, the department doesn't run. And so I learned a lot about what was really important last year. Wins and losses are great, but it's the people side of the business that matters the most.
And can you explain the Morgan Made Initiative, and what are some of the short and long-term goals for that program?
Yeah, well, the Morgan Made Initiative is really a comprehensive campaign, right? What we want to do is we want to invest more back into our student athletes so you all can develop and become stronger, faster, right, and have the academic resources that you need.
Yes, and as a student athlete, I know that academics come first. So how would you say the athletic department is doing academically?
I think we're doing a tremendous job right now. And I mean that. I'll give you numbers, right? When I arrived at Morgan, as Lamont alluded to 5 years ago, our graduation rate was 51%. Today, our graduation rate is 70%, right? Our GPA was a 2.63. Today, our GPA is a 3.41. I mean, we're doing some spectacular things. Every single program in our athletic department is above a 3.1 GPA. Men's basketball, football, you name it. And so what we've done is we've taken a weakness and we've actually made it our strength, right? In order to play for us at Morgan now, you have to take care of the classroom. That's the common denominator. If you can't do that, you can't see the field for us. And for me as an athletic director, it allows me to sleep a lot easier at night, not having to worry about eligibility, right? And I think what I learned over the last 5 years is when you set the bar, students really want to reach that bar.
If you give them the tools and the support, you all will reach that bar.
Fans are back. Mm-hmm. And I think that one thing that's important for you and your staff is making sure that the game day experience for fans from the moment they set foot in the stadium or the arena is something in which they won't forget their visit to Morgan. Talk to me about the importance of that fan day experience and elevating it.
Well, it's really everything, right? The game is part of it, but nowadays the fans are looking for something more, right? And so you got a chance to see that. The part that I was really excited about, we hired a gentleman named Lydell Sargent. He's our senior associate for external relations and development, and he's brought some new ideas. He came from UCLA. So the first idea he brought was a student tailgate. It was the first time we've done it in my 5 years in Cummings parking lot. And that whole place was packed. There was a DJ over there, two food trucks. Our softball had a tailgate out there. Our football alum had a tailgate. The entire parking lot was absolutely packed in our first tailgate, which I think lent itself to the students then coming to the game, because we're providing them a different experience. And it's got to start with the students on campus. We got some enrollment numbers. We're over 8,600 students right now on this campus. Right. And so we got to find a way to bring them back into the fold. The loyal folks are always going to show up. Right. The Morgan Pride folks, they're going to be there no matter what. And so we'll always provide something for them. But I really wanted to focus on students this year after being off campus for a full year. And I think we saw a lot of that on Saturday, and we expect more of that to come here at Morgan.
Mm-hmm. And we've talked a lot about your past 5 years. So what can we expect in the upcoming 5 years?
Vision starts with Dr. Wilson. Right. He had a vision for intercollegiate athletics that was really special. My job is to then take that vision and actualize it. And so what do I see next? I see us continuing to add to our facility portfolio. Mm-hmm. You'll notice that every facility we have has been upgraded significantly, and that's not gonna stop. We're gonna continue that. Taking over Hurt Gym, I think, will be an asset for the athletic department, but for all the students on campus. We have some plans to renovate that as well. I plan to raise some substantial money. I want to raise millions of dollars. I want to make sure that folks know that we really need to pour into our athletic department. So you'll see Lydell and myself on the road a lot, making a case as to why we need philanthropic support. And then I expect championships. And what I've told our department this year is we don't have to chase championships anymore, because we know we can win them. What we have to do is get 1% better every day. Mm-hmm. And that has to be our focus. And you know that as a student athlete, if you get 1% better every day, by the time you go out and play in your competition, it's almost a foregone conclusion because you're prepared. Mm-hmm. And so that's really where our focus has to be, is getting 1% better every day, because the margin now that we're chasing is so much smaller, right? Because of who we're trying to compete against. So that's what I think I'm looking forward to. And honestly, just spending some time with the student athletes, because I really missed y'all over the last year. It reminded me that at this stage of my career, why I'm an athletic director, and it's because I get to be around students probably more so than any other vice president on this campus. And that for me is a privilege, and I take that very seriously.
He's the vice president and director of athletics here at Morgan State. Dr. Scott, that's a full plate, man. We're going to have to let you go so you can get to doing some of those things you outlined. We appreciate the visit, though.
I appreciate you having me, and thanks for all you do to support us. And thank you for being a phenomenal student athlete, Caleb. Appreciate it.
You can catch the entire episode of The Morgan Show at weaa.org. Recently, student reporter Kendra Pugh spoke with the official voice of Morgan Sports, Lamont Germany, to get his thoughts on the Morgan State football team.
I caught up with play-by-play announcer Lamont Germany, who talks about the Bears roster and how well he thinks the team will do this season. Germany says that he is hopeful that the team will do better going forward. Germany says that the football team is filled with mostly new players and that he only knows some personally. Lamont says that Morgan has a tough schedule this season, but he knows that there are some talented players on the team.
Wolfolk, very athletic person, one of the few people on the roster who has experience. We know what he's capable of, both as a returner and maybe potentially as a return specialist. So I think he having a good season will mean good things for Morgan State. And then along the defensive line, I saw a couple of guys that caught my eye. Mo Dindo and Nathan Perry, defensive tackles. Crucial that you're able to stop the run of the opponent. If you can stop or at least slow down the run, you have a good chance of walking off the field with the win.
Germany talks about what he saw during the Bears training camp.
And maybe the most important thing I saw is attention to detail. I think it really is important in football. It's a precision sport. Everybody has to know what their responsibilities are on every snap.
I am Kendra Pugh, reporting for the Morgan News Hour.
After the 69-20 loss by Morgan State to Tulane this past weekend, Morgan News Hour's Darius Brockett gives you his five takeaways from the game.
I caught up with play-by-play announcer Lamont Germany, who talks about the Bears roster and how well he thinks the team will do this season. Germany says that he is hopeful that the team will do better going forward. Germany says that the football team is filled with mostly new players and that he only knows some personally. Lamont says that Morgan has a tough schedule this season, but he knows that there are some talented players on the team.
Wolfolk, very athletic person, one of the few people on the roster who has experience. We know what he's capable of, both as a returner and maybe potentially as a return specialist. So I think he having a good season will mean good things for Morgan State. And then along the defensive line, I saw a couple of guys that caught my eye. Mo Dindo and Nathan Perry, defensive tackles. Crucial that you're able to stop the run of the opponent. If you can stop or at least slow down the run, you have a good chance of walking off the field with the win.
Germany talks about what he saw during the Bears training camp.
And maybe the most important thing I saw is attention to detail. I think it really is important in football. It's a precision sport. Everybody has to know what their responsibilities are on every snap.
I am Kendra Pugh, reporting for the Morgan News Hour.
I spoke with former Morgan Bears tennis player and current coach Matthew Towns and asked him about his reason for becoming a coach, as well as his team's performance this past weekend.
Something I always was doing, like ever since I was maybe like 14, 15, I always was helping like kids. And so I think that just was like in summer camp and it just started growing until I just realized that I didn't want to do anything else.
What were some things you guys need to improve on?
Closing out, finishing matches. We played the first, you know, three quarters of the match very well and then we got a little tight and that's just from competition.
Were there any players that stood out to you in particular?
Michael and Esmar Rose. She, one of the captains on the ladies' team. She actually played very well this weekend.
Thank you, Tariq, for joining us here on the Morgan News Hour. Hope you come back.
So do I.
All right. All right, man. Thank you.
Here's a look at your weather around the region. Tonight, a slight chance of showers after 2 a.m., partly cloudy with a low around 72. Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 90. Tuesday night, partly cloudy, a low around 72. Wednesday, a slight chance of showers after 2 p.m., mostly sunny with a high near 90. Wednesday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly between 8 p.m. and 2 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 70. Thursday, a chance of showers after 2 p.m., partly sunny with a high near 84. Here's a recap of the top stories from the Morgan News Hour. Police in Anne Arundel County are still looking for a 15-year-old who was seen with a handgun prior to a police cruiser being struck by a bullet. Police say they know who the suspect is. We also heard from Morgan State's athletic director on his five-year plan and how he navigated COVID with all the restrictions. Finally, we heard from Morgan State's head tennis coach on why he decided to go into coaching.
The Baltimore Ravens begin their season tonight when they take on the Las Vegas Raiders at their new stadium called the Death Star. Our Ravens reporter Cordell Woodland has a preview.
Hello, Baltimore. My name is Cordell Woodland, and I'll be your source for all things Baltimore Ravens here on WEAA. Well, week one is finally here as the Ravens head to Vegas to take on the Raiders on Monday Night Football. As we head into this game, there are quite a few things to look for if you're a Ravens fan. Let's start with the offense. We can't talk about this offense without mentioning the terrible situation at running back. Any team that has to go into the season without their starting running back is already at a disadvantage, but a team forced to be without its top three backs is simply unheard of. Thankfully for the Ravens, they were able to sign free agent running back Latavius Murray, who was cut by the Saints a few weeks ago simply because they couldn't afford him. Latavius joins an offense that has led the league in rushing the last two seasons. Tonight, I'm watching to see how the running back rotation will work with Murray, Tyson Williams, and Le'Veon Bell. I'll also be paying attention to Lamar Jackson, of course, because he's must-see TV every time he's on the field. The Ravens have added to the wide receiver group with guys like Sammy Watkins and rookie Rashad Bateman, who will be out for the first few weeks of the season. I'm looking to see how much this passing game has grown after all the attention paid to this area during the offseason. Will Lamar get back to his MVP form? Will the Ravens finally have a passing game that teams will fear? We shall see. On to the defensive side of the ball, where the team is hoping to find a pass rush after losing last year's sack leader Matt Judon to the Patriots. Rookie Adafe Owe joins a veteran defensive line led by Calais Campbell to try and boost the team's pressure on opposing quarterbacks, along with guys like outside linebacker Tyus Bowser. I'm looking to see how much pressure this team is able to put on Derek Carr, who plays behind a pretty decent offensive line. Lastly, we touched on the team's injuries to the running back position, but the team lost cornerback Marcus Peters last week to a torn ACL, which changes things for them in the secondary. Defensive coordinator Wink Martindale would depend on guys like Anthony Averett to step up, and Martindale has made it clear that he's got a ton of trust in his unproven cornerbacks. I'm looking to see how Averett fares against the Raiders tonight, considering they'll want to stay away from all-pro corner Marlon Humphrey. Averett could get a ton of balls thrown his way, so we'll see how he's able to hold up. From WEAA, I'm Cordell Woodland.
All right, appreciate that. Now it's time for your sports report. This is Dre and Kendra. How y'all doing out there? Kendra?
I'm doing good. How is everybody doing?
Everybody's good. Everybody's good.
Good.
What was your take from this past weekend's games?
I mean, it was a lot of crazy games. The one game I couldn't predict was how bad the Packers got beat.
Oh, yeah. No, nobody saw that. It's always an upset. That was probably that one, and the Steelers game caught me off guard. I did not expect the Steelers to beat the Buffalo Bills.
So,
I agree with that.
With the Packers, what happened there? Is it with Aaron Rodgers, or
honestly, I just think it was just one of those week one type of situations where the team is just trying to really get their bearings, and I think by midseason they'll be fine. But I think that was just a game. That was just a weird game in the NFL because Jameis Winston looked like the second coming of Donovan McNabb out there. I was like, what is this?
It looks like he slimmed down too.
Or maybe that laser surgery helped him.
That secondary was terrible. I'm like, oh my goodness. He went 14 for 20, Jameis Winston did. And most of those 14 completions that he had, most of them was for touchdowns.
Mm. Yeah.
Terrible.
That was terrible. But I think overall, I mean, I enjoyed all like the games, the Patriots, even in a loss. Mac Jones, he still looked good out there.
Oh, the Patriots lost?
Yeah, to the Dolphins, barely.
Oh, to the Dolphins.
They lost by 1 point because one of the Patriots running backs, he fumbled in like the last couple of minutes.
Yeah, you know, living down here, I had to go buy the Sunday ticket because my Giants weren't on. I should get my money back now.
The Giants, y'all didn't look too bad, but the quarterback is still the question for y'all.
Mm-hmm.
So,
y'all better get Cam Newton. He's free.
That's what someone posted on my page, that Cam Newton's free.
Look, Washington got an opening at quarterback too, so.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Oof.
That was devastating for them. Well, tonight the Ravens, they play the Las Vegas Raiders. Don't feel bad. All of us still get confused about saying the Las Vegas Raiders.
Okay. Thank you. I was like, what?
Kendra, who you got winning tonight?
I wanna say the Ravens, but I'm just not sure about that running back situation. And then you have a hole at corner with Marcus Peters being out. So I'm just not sure. I'm just not sure about it. So I'm gonna take the Raiders. They're probably gonna win by 3 points.
I'm going to take the Raiders as well. It's a close game. I know I got my Ravens stuff for him, but I'm just feeling like it's just too many injuries to overcome. I feel that this will be the first game within that new stadium in Oakland. It's Monday Night Football. It's a lot going on. The crowd is going to really be behind them. I think the Raiders are really going to be amped for this game, and I just feel that the Ravens just have too much to overcome to win tonight's football game.
And also they had to travel out there too, you know.
So yeah, it's a lot of dynamics. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you don't know, the Ravens could win the game. I think that the Ravens do have a chance to win this football game, because I'm not really sold on the Raiders as a playoff team. I think the Ravens are definitely a playoff team despite the injuries. I think that they still look good out there, and I think that this will be a great season for Lamar Jackson, especially because he wants to get paid.
Right. Well, and you got to think about it. He's going to take extra steps, but, you know, hopefully he doesn't try and do too much, you know.
And that's what I'm concerned about, is the fact we're doing too much. Because I know, like, you know, you've seen, like, even when the Redskins, when it was RG3's rookie season, and he wound up getting injured because he was just trying to overly run. And everybody knew that he was the favorite to run. And I don't want to see that with him. I don't want to see that with Jackson, where he just, like, he has to do everything, he has to run, and then wind up getting injured because they don't really have a solid running back.
I agree.
Well, they better do something with Le'Veon or somebody for what these recent signings that they just had.
Mm-hmm. They're pulling some people off the practice squad.
There's another story we wanted to get into. I don't know when they're going to start Justin Fields, but a stat came out that Andy Dalton right now, over his last 29 starts, is 7-22. So, Chicago, y'all got a long ways to go right now.
Now, who won yesterday?
What were you saying, Kendra?
Oh, go ahead, Kendra.
I was going to say, yeah, that's kind of crazy to believe, but it's just the fact that you see the division that they were in. I don't really fault them that he didn't win that many games, but I kind of do. Because some of those seasons was winning seasons.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I do kind of fault him, but they had a lot of stuff. Cincinnati had a lot of stuff going on. They had a lot of stuff going on with their defense. The offensive line, they couldn't get the offensive line together to save their life. It was just a lot going on in Cincinnati.
Not only Cincinnati, but his run in Dallas. I mean, he's just run into some bad situations.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't, you know, sometimes they have numbers like this, but you have to dig deeper into what's going on with those numbers. And Justin Fields, just because he gets in there doesn't mean that Chicago, y'all going to be winning a whole bunch of football games either.
What did you think about Matthew Stafford? They put him in a great system, a great wide receivers. What did you think about him? Great defense?
Oh, I think that he'll be an MVP candidate, and I think that the Rams will actually have a good playoff run this year.
I thought he looked pretty good.
Mm-hmm. But it's crazy with a difference a different team and also different system can make.
Oh, tell me about it. And a different culture going from Detroit to Los Angeles. Anybody will start winning and smiling then. But speaking of Los Angeles, it's time to go to Hollywood.
Oh.
Nice transition.
Exactly. Thanks, Dre. Thanks, Kendra. So here's what's trending in your entertainment. Singer-songwriter Stevie Wonder will headline the Global Citizen Live Star-studded 24-hour event in Los Angeles to help raise awareness around poverty, climate change, and the need for more access to COVID vaccination doses worldwide. In the U.S., Global Citizen wants the Biden administration to increase vaccine access by sharing doses with other countries, and it's seeking for government leaders in the U.K. to partner with a United Nations-led campaign that aims to achieve zero carbon emissions by 2050. Global Citizen officials announced that Stevie Wonder will be among several performers, including her, Adam Lambert, Demi Lovato, Chloe and Haley, and many others. Global Citizen Live will take place on 6 continents. The event will air on BBC on September 25th and on ABC the following day. In May, Global Citizen-sponsored Vax Live, which generated more than 26 million COVID vaccine doses and over $300 million for programs aimed at more equitable distribution of vaccines. The long-delayed Tony Awards has landed two hosts, Tony and Grammy-winning singer and actor Leslie Odom Jr. and Tony Grammy Emmy Award-winning actress and singer Audra McDonald. Odom will host the two-hour celebration of Broadway's return on September 26th, something like an after-show, and McDonald will host the awards ceremony. The four-hour award and special are an attempt to celebrate live theater and serve as a splashy advertisement that Broadway is inching back to normalcy after Broadway abruptly closed in March of 2020, knocking out all shows. This season's nominations for the award shows were pulled from 18 eligible plays and musicals, a fraction of the 34 shows the season before. The event will broadcast live from Broadway's Winter Garden Theater. And tonight is the biggest night in fashion. It is the 2021 Met Gala, which is hosted by Kiki Palmer and Ilana Gardner. So that's happening tonight, and the theme is a lexicon of America, a lexicon of fashion. So whereas though majority of the designers that you'll see on the red carpet tonight will be American designers. So the live broadcast started at 5:30, and you know we're starting to see more.
Demi's been streaming it.
I've been streaming it. It started late. Like the live stream is in shambles, but we're starting to see more stars arrive on the red carpet, and the looks are
they're
pretty good. I'm looking on Twitter right now though, but everybody's saying that they look like they're going to prom. Mm-hmm. But some of the I want to say that some of the outfits point to like old Hollywood and reminiscent of like Diana Ross, like in 1976, excuse me. Like Kiki Palmer has like this curly hair look and this shimmery long dress with the back cut out. Mm-hmm. And it's like very like, oh, that's Diana Ross. Mm-hmm. Then you see Billie Eilish on the red carpet, and she has this really beautiful Oscar de la Renta dress with this wide circle skirt with a long train, and it's like a bustier top. Mm-hmm. And she just looks so good, and she's like doing blonde hair. Normally, you'll see Billie Eilish with like black or green hair, but she has like this blonde hair, and she looks so beautiful, so refined. So, I mean, I'm not gonna say prom. I'm gonna just say old Hollywood.
Yeah. Little known fact, no one knows this, but a person I went to high school with does
her makeup. That's pretty cool. Yeah. And her makeup looks nice tonight.
Robert Rumsey.
Robert Rumsey. You know, thank you. She looks good. So shout out to Robert Rumsey. Mm-hmm. And you have some.
Oh, I just had two quick things. Cedric the Entertainer is actually doing, I believe he's hosting the Oscars.
Emmys. Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, which I thought was interesting.
Yes.
And we were talking about it earlier. Venus Williams. She says she feels the pressure to start a family, but she says she's not desperate to start one.
I don't know what desperation means when it comes to starting a family. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. Yeah. Like, you don't have to be desperate to start a family. I mean, maybe she could have just said she's just happy with mm-hmm. figuring out her life right now right. instead of saying desperate, because I don't know what that means. I don't think anyone is desperate to have like their own little village.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, thanks, Randy.
Yeah, you're welcome. You can get back to streaming the Met Gala.
The Met Gala.
All right. We want to thank you all for joining us here on the Morgan News Hour. I'm Randy Reed.
And I'm Demi Goff. Coming up next is In the Groove with Lolo. Thank you for joining us. Have a good night.
Our production tonight was brought to you by the students in the School of Global Journalism and Communication right here at Morgan State University. In our learning lab here at the studios of WEAA 88.9 FM, led by Dean Jacqueline Jones and station manager Robert Shahid. Thank you to our student reporters, Devontae Berry, Kaisha Hancock, Chardonnay Jackson, Jasmine Johnson, Rochelle Keaton, David Lance, Gabriel Ortiz, Kendra Pugh, Kara Williams, and an extra special thanks to Andre Melton for operating the board tonight.